It's up to McCaffrey. There he goes. It's a C-Mac attack. McCaffrey won't be able to beat.
This is Desmond Johnson on the Believe in Carolina Panthers podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network. The number one podcast network for professionals. Do you believe? If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes. We're available in your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. You can also find us at Believe.com and at Believe Podcast on Twitter. Welcome into the Believe in Carolina Panthers podcast. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, joined by Sports Illustrated Panthers beat writer Skylar Callahan. And we are finally, I guess you could say, a victory Tuesday. The Carolina Panthers get off the snide, 19-13 winners over division rival, the Atlanta Falcons. And we got a lot to get into about that matchup. We'll actually preview Panthers versus Patriots as well. Skylar will give us a little bit of an update from speaking to coaches and players and whatnot on the condition of quarterback Sam Darnold and more. But first, before we get into that, a word from one of our sponsors at Bet Online. Back and better than ever, all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. And as always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, Bet Online continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. And we will start with Carolina getting a win finally, 4-4 on the season, 2-2 on the road, 19-13 winners over the Atlanta Falcons. But Skylar didn't start off that way from play number one. Walk me through how it felt in the press box watching Chuba cough that ball up on the very first play game.
Honestly, it was the moment it happened, everyone in the Panthers beat section just started laughing. It was just like, oh, my goodness, here we go. Like, you feel like this might be the week they get things turned around, and then right out of the shoot, it's like a flashback of Minnesota where they turned the ball up. First play of the game. But in both instances, against Minnesota and against Atlanta, the defense buckled down, held the team, the opposing team to a field goal. So, I mean, I know a lot can be said about the offensive struggles, but you really just have to focus on the defense because and Matt Rhule said it, I think, after the game Sunday. Everyone just got to kind of come to terms that this is a defensive football team right now. Right. They're going to win and lose games because of their defense. And I know you're going to win and lose some games because of your offense as well, but right now that defense is playing at a playoff caliber level while the offense is still trying to, you know, figure some things out. So right now it's like everything's kind of riding on how the defense performs. Them holding Atlanta to a field goal in that opening possession was huge.
I agree, and I agree with this assessment that this is a defensive football team. We kind of said it after week one, really, that I felt like the Panthers' defense alone could be responsible for 6 or 7 wins for this team. They were just playing at a certain level. Now, we've seen how they look without Shaq Thompson. I thought with Shaq coming back on Sunday, that defense looked, well, not completely different. It just looked like it had more focus than the past couple of weeks without him, which to me tells me that Shaq is the true leader of that defense. And he made his presence felt in this game. He got a 10 total tackles, one of them for a tackle for loss. He had an interception. Hassan Reddick was all over the place. He had a sack in the game. Brian Burns got off of it and got a half a sack in this game as well. The defense was attacking more. It felt like they were sending more people back there. And Atlanta, to be honest, other than Cordarrelle Patterson and Kyle Pitts, they didn't really have a lot for Matt Ryan to really work with on a Sunday. Not that I'm complaining. That's fantastic for us. Yeah. But they didn't really have a lot. Calvin Ridley was a late scratch. And from my understanding, they're not sure when he might return to their roster. So it felt like Atlanta was gaining more yardage than they were. I know Matt Ryan was 20 for 27, but he only threw for 146 yards. It felt like he threw for like 246 yards and like watching the game. But I went back and watched the highlights late last night, And I was just really impressed with the defense. They just kind of kept everything in front of them. The offense, our offense couldn't really score touchdowns, which is something they need to work on. But I agree, the defense pretty much won this football game.
100%. And as you mentioned with Shaq Thompson, we talked about it during the losing streak about how important that he was, because the defense just did not have the same swagger to him. They didn't have the same energy to him. And the moment he stepped back on the field in Atlanta on Sunday, it's like they just regained that, like just like that, like a snap of a thing, a snap of a finger. So having him back is certainly going to help. And then it's also nice to have Stephon Gilmore finally. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, Panthers fans have been waiting for ever since he was traded for from New England. So to see him go in there, I think he only played in, you know, 30 some percent of the defensive snaps. So they're still trying to work him and get back up to full speed. But for the plays that he did appear in on, I mean, he played extremely well. He came down with an interception. He kind of followed Kyle Pitts around all game and kind of gave him a welcome to the NFL. And Pitts even said that in the game. He said, he kind of humbled me. This is my welcome to the NFL against a former defensive player of the year. So it's nice to see Gilmore out there. And now you're starting to see some of these reinforcements coming back defensively. It's only going to make this team better.
You know, I thought I saw a stat Monday that for the Kyle Pitts, Stephon Gilmore matchup, that Gilmore shadowed him like six different routes throughout the game. And Pitts and Gilmore both had one reception on those routes. Gilmore with the interception and Pitts with the catch on him. Pitts only had one catch. Let me go back here. He had two catches for 13 yards the entire game, which is incredible because that kid is a talent. He's very, very good. But unfortunately, again, didn't get a whole lot of help anyplace else. Mike Davis, a former Carolina Panther, he had 9 carries for 44 yards. I'm trying to figure out what exactly Cordarrelle Patterson is, because they're using him as a running back, but he's kind of a wide receiver. He's their special teams returner as well. So they just kind of have him as this Swiss Army knife, kind of the way Curtis Samuel was being used by us last year. It kind of feels like he had 9 rushes for 35 yards, but they just couldn't really get any kind of rhythm going. And that's a testament to this Panther defense who, as I check on Tuesday, are second in the league in total yards allowed, which is kind of nuts considering they just went through this losing streak.
Yeah.
And they're behind Buffalo. Buffalo's played one less game than them. And they're just right behind them. But this Panther defense is no joke. I feel like if the Panthers have a shot to make the playoffs, and I think when I checked last, they're in the 7th spot actually right now. The NFC is not exactly fantastic. It's kind of top heavy with those first 5 teams or so, like the Rams, who are going for it all right now after trading for Von Miller on Monday. They are risking it all like right now. Apparently they don't care about the draft at all.
Yeah, they have given us like what 17 picks between
Sam. Yeah, but look at their defense, has somebody at each level of the defense that you kind of got to scheme for, between Aaron Donald, who's probably the best player in the league. Now you're adding Von Miller to the linebacking core. You got Jalen Ramsey at cornerback, who's probably the best cornerback in the league. And you would think that the Rams would have a higher ranked defense than they actually do, but they don't actually. I was trying to find them on the total. Okay, I just flipped over here, and they're actually further down. They're actually like in the 20s in terms of total defensive stats. So they've got those names there, but they're allowing 367 yards per game. Our Panthers are almost allowing 100 yards less than that per game. So kind of give you some comparison of what the defense is doing for the Panthers right now. And they definitely deserve to get their flowers 8 games in. If you had been told, Skyler, at the beginning of the year that after, you know, 9 weeks, the Panthers would be 4-4, 2-0 in the NFC South, and getting Christian McCaffrey back, possibly, I mean, is that something that would interest you? Is that something that you'd be interested in? Or
I mean, I think it, when you go back to last year, I mean, we knew what that roster was like, and it was going to be a down year. I mean, that's just what it was. 5-11. And like we had pointed out several times before, I mean, that 5 wins for that team was actually kind of impressive. So
yeah.
I think when you look to from where you were a year ago to now at 4-4, I mean, you're in that last spot in the playoffs. You still have a chance to get a couple of wins here before we go through that brutal stretch. So I think it's all going to come down to these next 5 weeks are going to be very, very critical for the Panthers because, again, that four-game stretch at the end of the year where they got the Bills, the Bucks twice, and the Saints.
Oh,
I mean, how many of those are you going to be able to pull out? And me and my buddy were talking about this last night. If the Panthers have to get to 10-7 to make the playoffs, is there still six wins out there on the schedule? I don't know if I see six because the Patriots, I mean, if you don't have Sam Darnold, I don't know if I trust P.J. Walker enough to get you a win.
I don't at all, actually. Yeah. I don't trust. I've seen people online talking, well, we need to give him a chance, a chance to start and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why? Like, exactly. Why do we need to give him a chance?
Like, after what he looked like in New York, I mean, my God. Yeah. And then the he did your third interception across the ball in the end zone. Like,
he almost cost the game when he came in Atlanta. It's like
there's a reason he is a backup quarterback. But then you go to next week. They got Arizona, who's playing really, really well.
Yeah.
You got Washington, Miami, Atlanta are those next three. You have to win those three games. And I know it's hard to sit there and say, well, those are three very winnable games, and they should be able to win all three. But that's not how the NFL works. You know, these teams are all – someone's going to come up and probably, you know, get the Panthers at a bad time. And it might go the other way. Panthers might go to Arizona and win a game. I mean, it's that's the NFL. You know, things just crazy things happen, and they're not always going to go how you expect. So, for them to get the six wins, it's going to be very, very tough. And again, we talked about it like I think a couple of weeks ago, how that Philadelphia loss might come back to hurt them. And I think that's where it's going to come down to. I think they can maybe get five wins. Six wins is pushing it. They would love to get that Eagles game back.
Yeah, I'm looking back now. When we were 3-0, I think I foolishly looked at the schedule and was like, you know, the next four games we should be favored in all four, and we lost all four of those games. You know, like so to your point, it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, you can't really take any team for granted. So while it looks daunting looking at the schedule to see if they can get to that number of wins, to your point, they could very well go to Arizona and win there, or it just depends on what they're doing in terms of the Panthers. I've got to the point where I've seen enough of them to think if they are dead set on doing whatever it is they're trying to do game plan wise, they're going to be a competitive football team, and then it can go either way. I did love the fact that they decided they were going to run the football, like for real. Like last week, they kind of faked this out. They said they were going to do it, did it on the first drive, and then they did it like five times or something crazy like the rest of the game. They stuck with it in Atlanta, like to the point where it felt like it turned the game into this kind of rough, grimy, like in the dirt kind of game that didn't have a whole lot of rhythm on both sides. It was more of a kind of keep away type game, like which offense could keep the ball away from the other one like longer. And Carolina, to their credit, they rushed for 47 times, 203 yards, which I think should be the most by far during the Matt Rhule era that they've rushed on the ground. Chuba Hubbard with 82 yards. I really liked Amir Abdullah. I felt like he was kind of providing a little bit of that Christian McCaffrey burst that Hubbard doesn't really – Hubbard's a good running back, but there's a certain level of like quickness or nimbleness or explosiveness, I guess is the best way to put it. And it feels like Abdullah's got a little of that, like where he can hit the hole – fast and go same way McCaffrey does, but of course, you know, he's not Christian McCaffrey, but Hubbard, Abdullah, and McCaffrey together, those three, I think could be a pretty formidable rushing attack if the Panthers truly want it, because I think that we've proven over the past month that they can't win on Sam Darnold's arm alone. Like that's not going to do it.
Now, and what's really interesting is you look at that running back room when McCaffrey comes back, whether it be this week or next or whatever, they've got four legit options now. And I think Royce Freeman's a guy that Matt Rhule really likes too. So, I mean, especially for his pass blocking ability, he's kind of got that I don't really know how to explain it, but when you watch Royce Freeman run, he doesn't get very many opportunities, but he makes a lot of NFL veteran type of runs. Like he knows how to be patient, knows when to hit the hole, knows when to change direction. So there's a lot to like about Royce Freeman too. So it's going to be a very interesting decision when McCaffrey comes back. Do they keep all four backs on the roster? Well, you know you're keeping McCaffrey and Hubbard. So is it going to come down to Abdullah and Freeman, one of them being the odd man out, or are you going to keep both of them? I think they could keep both because Freeman is kind of like their pass protection guy. He is their best pass protector in that running back room. And I think that they really feel good about Amir Abdullah, especially in the return game and what he's done here in his first couple of games in the running back room. Matt Rhule said he provided them with a jolt offensively. And he said that not only Sunday, but Monday too. So he's really high on Amir Abdullah. So I think if they want to be able to continue to run the ball at will, you know, run it 35, 40 times a game, I don't see why you wouldn't keep four running backs on the roster. I mean,
it helps their defense. Like, if they're truly a defensive team, if Matt Rhule is saying that, you know, he's saying the right things, we're going to be identified as a defensive team, we need to run the ball more, blah, blah, blah. Those go hand in hand. Like, you can't be a top defensive team and throw the ball 50 times a game. Look at Kansas City. You know, that's literally what's happening with them right now, where they're still trying to – now, last night they tried to run the ball more than they normally do. But it's still – they're still trying to flip over that switch from where they were before, where they could just go out there and sling it 50 times, and the defense was kind of an afterthought. Carolina doesn't have that luxury. Like, you've got the backs to do it, and this much maligned offensive line, to me it's more they have an issue with pass blocking. They don't seem to have that much of an issue with run blocking. Like, I'm watching them open up pretty huge holes for these running backs to get through, and I'm picturing Christian McCaffrey running through these holes and gaining an extra 6 or 7 yards on them. Yeah. I think they were more built to be like road graders than they are pass protection. So it took the Panthers 8 weeks to kind of figure this out. But at heart, I think they're kind of built to be a possession, move the chains, you know, hold on to the football, run the ball type of team, and play defense and just grind you down and not allow you to score more than 15 points. I mean, they can win football games this way. People have been winning football games like this for 100 years. Like, I'm just surprised it took them this long to figure it out.
Hey, it's better late than never, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, and you know, the crazy thing too, at this point last week, I think all of us felt like the sky was falling. Like, yeah, you know, the season's slipping away. I don't want to go through another half season of this. Like, I said it on this, it felt like a chore watching the Panthers play. It's funny what 1 week will do and a win, where now everything's just, it's almost like they can start the season fresh, you know?
Yeah, and when you talked about those long drives, I mean, there was at least two that I know of. There may have been a third where Carolina held the ball for 8 minutes. That's half of a quarter.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, you're essentially talking two of their drives were an entire quarter of football. That gives your defense not only a ton of rest, because they're playing so many, you know, less snaps, but that's given the opposition very few opportunities to do anything with the football. So when you do make the most of those opportunities, when you have 8 minute drives and you finish those with touchdowns, which they only did one time, but if they can start turning those 8 minute drives into, you know, from field goals to touchdowns, it's really going to be hard for anybody to really kind of be able to beat Carolina, because that defense is so dang good. And when you have only 50, 60 plays to get it done, it's going to be a chore, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and so these Panthers, I think at first people were saying with the defense, oh, well, look who he played. Now we've got a larger sample size of 8 games, a variety of different teams. And the Panthers are number 2 overall in defense. They're number 2 in passing defense, and they're a little bit further down in runs. Dallas really destroyed that, as well as trying to think who else it was. The Vikings. The Vikings had over 100 yards on this one that day too. They're only averaging 106 yards per game on the ground, but keep in mind, a lot of that got built up during the you know, the 4 weeks that Shaq was out. And I think that's going to start turning back around too, because at one point Carolina was only allowing like 60 something yards per game on the ground. And it reminds me of that opening drive for the Falcons when they got that fumble, where just bam, 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 the defense just kind of stepped up and they wouldn't let them run the ball, wouldn't let them get near the end zone really. And the Falcons had to resort to a field goal for it. So good win for the, any win's a good win, but good win for the Panthers, getting off the losing snowball there and moving to 4-4 on the season and 2-0 in the NFC South. Were there any players that you were surprised about, good or bad, during this game? Because I've got one, and it started to bubble every week when I look at the box score. I'm just like, what is going on? I'll let you go first. Was there anything or anybody out there where you're kind of like worried about them?
I would say from a good standpoint, I think Hassan Reddick just continues to show how good he is, and he's gonna earn himself a big payday. I don't know exactly what that contract looks like, because I think he was one of the guys they threw in some voidable years, and that's kind of like this new NFL contract thing, so I'm not really sure how that works out. But he's going to be a guy that's going to get paid a lot of money. I think Carolina would love to keep him around. Mm-hmm. But when you look at Sam Darnold, 13 of 24 for 129 yards this week, and you go back to last week, and the stats are like they're not that different. 16 to 25, 112 yards in a pit, but it felt like he played light years better.
It did. It really, it showed through the TV. He looked calmer. Yeah. He was climbing that ladder in the pocket more. He didn't seem jittery. And that was the thing that I was noticing during the losing streak. It felt like he was holding on to the ball forever. Like just longer than Cam Newton, like just holding it. And I'm screaming in my living room, throw the ball. There's a guy right there, all the time. And he's never looking at that guy. Like he refuses to check down. And it felt like Sunday that he settled down. I don't know if he saw some, I guess he saw some film of himself. I know him and Coach Rule had talked or whatnot. They said during the broadcast that Coach Rule had said that him and Sam's relationship wasn't exactly close until he had to bench him. And then they actually started having those conversations that you want a coach and a quarterback to have. But before that, it was really more of a, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. How's the wife doing? How's the family? Blah, blah, blah. But that was, it was kind of surfaced. There was really no.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what they were saying during the broadcast that Rule had said. And then he said that he sat down with Darnold and they went through tape of him in the Saints game and the Jets game. And just kind of went through the things that were working and the things that weren't. And they said that Rule said that it was actually the first time they really sat down and really had that kind of conversation before, where it was more than just QB coach, we work in the same building type thing. I thought that was really interesting when I heard it during the broadcast, because some of that's part of Matt Rule's head coaching style. Maybe that's something he needs to work on as a head coach, that maybe he wasn't used to doing that kind of stuff. And maybe that's why Sam was so detached looking, really, for the month. Did they give any updates on Sam's condition on Monday?
So Rule basically said that he was meeting with doctors on Monday. He's in the early stages of concussion protocol. So they'll obviously know more come tomorrow. And I feel like Thursday is going to be the big kind of barometer, for where he might be in terms of his status for this week, because Friday is basically a walkthrough day. It's very, very, very limited. They don't do a whole lot. So Thursday is kind of like their big heavy hitting day. So I would assume that if he's at least limited, that he'll have a shot to play Sunday. But if he's a DNP on Thursday when the injury report comes out, I would almost assume that PJ Walker is going to be your starting quarterback come Sunday. So it's going to be interesting. And as I was telling you before the show, I did an article about why the Panthers should bring on Cam Newton. But the Carolina's got to do something at quarterback if this injury this concussion kind of lingers for Darnold, because the only other quarterback they have on the roster is James Morgan, who's down on the practice squad. So whether it be trading for somebody, which obviously has to be done today, or signing a veteran free agent, or maybe stealing somebody off waivers, they've got to add another quarterback. And it doesn't have to be a flashy name like Cam Newton, but they have to get somebody in here.
I was waiting on you to say that name.
But they've got to get somebody in to at least compete, because I think if Walker does start this week, where I stand with PJ Walker. I don't have a lot of faith in him, but I feel like they could weather the storm for a week. It may be, even if they lose, okay. But if it starts to get into 2-3 week territory, that's when it's going to get a little dangerous.
I mean, Darnold got his bell rung like
twice.
Yeah. I mean, his head basically bounced off the AstroTurf. When you watch the replay, he got hit like square up. I mean, it was a clean hit, but the way he kind of got ricocheted back, and then he got basically pile-driven into the the AstroTurf, his head kind of bounced off of it. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, they got to take him out. He's done for the day. I agree with you. I am not a big fan of PJ Walker either. In fact, I'm under the impression that if he had not played for Matt Rhule in college, he wouldn't be in the NFL right now. I don't know of any team that would have him on, because he had opportunity before Rhule was a head coach and couldn't find a job, was in the XFL last, and then got on with the Panthers when Rhule came in last year. I know the most popular player on the team is always the backup quarterback, and I see Panther fans have been screaming for Walker for the past 4 weeks, which I understand because of Darnold's play. But there is a drastic difference between Sam Darnold and PJ Walker in terms of talent level.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's just, it's clear as day. Like, there's no reason to be like PJ Walker should be the starter going forward for the Carolina Panthers. Now, I could see them doing more of this run package, relying heavily on it. Although, without Sam, you kind of lose a little bit of the threat, because Sam will throw it deep. Like, teams know that Sam's got an arm. It's just a matter of, you know, what day is it? Is it a day where Sam is on, or is it a day where Sam's, you know, kind of throwing it to ghosts and spots and things on the field? But you had to respect it, which is how Carolina was able to run the ball so much on Sunday. I don't know if teams are going to have to respect PJ Walker in the same fashion. So I'm kind of curious. This is kind of, you know, honestly, this is an opportunity for Joe Brady to kind of show whatever kind of wonder kid he's supposed to be as an offensive coordinator, because they really could kind of build something, a 1 week package with PJ and the run game. I don't know if is he a runner? Can he run? Is he like a running quarterback? To your recollection, can he do that kind of thing?
Yeah, he's definitely mobile. The one thing I think with PJ is sometimes he gets a little too quick in terms of, you know, knowing when to just go ahead and tug it and run. And I think sometimes he needs to stay in that his progressions a little longer. But, you know, everyone goes back and says, well, PJ, he won, you know, he beat the Lions last year. It's the freaking Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
That team was so bad. Like, Desmond, I'm pretty sure me and you could have lined up maybe, you know, at least scored a couple of touchdowns on him. Like,
I read across a conversation on Facebook about this where somebody was defending him. And they're like, well, he won in Detroit. Like, the defense didn't score any points that day. I'm like, yeah, but the defense also shut Detroit out. Like, they didn't score any points. I mean, PJ ain't it. I'm sorry. He's just not it. So,
and the thing with the PJ is, like, Sam has the talent. I don't think anybody in the NFL or that watches the NFL has ever really questioned Sam's talent. The talent is there. It's just a matter of, can he get the mechanics right consistently? Can he stay consistent? And can he play with confidence? Those are the things with him. PJ, I don't know if he has the talent to even back up. Like, to me, if PJ Walker's on any other team in the NFL, he's maybe a practice squad guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Third string quarterback. He is not a backup, and he's shown that time and time again. There's no question about Sam Darnold's talent. It's a matter of his consistency and his confidence.
Now, that goes back to, well, what do you do then? Because there's one guy out there who that kind of knows the city. The city knows him. We can't bring Cam Newton back. I love Cam Newton. I do. I love him to death. He's one of my favorite football players of all time. But if they really want to take a step forward, I just don't see how that would work to bring Cam back in into this environment. There's still players on this team that played with Cam.
Yeah.
You know, they've done a good job clearing a lot of it out. But just on off DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, you know, like, these guys played with Cam. They went through the beginning of their careers with Cam being the leader, you know, and to have him taken out to bring him back in. And then in a week or two, Darnold's in the same QB room. So Cam's looking at Darnold like, you know, you're sitting in my seat. And Darnold's like, what is he doing here? He don't even go to the school. You know, like, it's just kind of like, you know, it can't work. It can't work. Now, I have seen Cam maybe to the Saints with Jameis Winston tearing his ACL, which was a bad injury on Sunday. I don't know, man. It's week 8. I don't know if Cam's going to latch on to anywhere, to be honest, at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to either. And kind of as I stated in that one or the article I put out, for Carolina, and if they were to ever bring back Cam Newton, and I've said this a million times, it's not going to happen. But if they were, Cam Newton would have to commit to being a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
He would have to commit to being okay in playing and being utilized in certain packages where they run the football, do some stuff at the goal line, short yard, and stuff like that. Cam Newton is a good enough quarterback to still maybe lead a team, you know, whether it be Seattle while Russell's out, New Orleans without, you know, Jameis Winston, or maybe just a young team that needs a starting quarterback, like maybe the Jets. I don't think you would want to go there, but I don't think that bringing him back is good because you're going to have Darnold looking over his shoulder. There's going to be pressure on the coaching staff from the fan base to put Newton in there. He's 32 years old. This is the youngest team in the NFL. You're trying to build long-term. Cam Newton is not going to be your long-term answer. As good as he used to be, you have to put it in the past. Like, you have to figure out – Scott Fitter used 3 draft picks to get Sam Darnold.
Right.
He doesn't want to just say, 8 games in, I made a mistake, let's move on. He wants him to get through this concussion protocol, play out the rest of the season, and have a full season sample size as to what they got in Sam Darnold. Because who knows? You know, right now, his job security is probably up in the air. But if he plays well down the stretch, gets this team into the playoffs, maybe even win a game, no one's going to be talking about Sam Darnold next year.
Yeah, that's true.
He's going to be the starting quarterback. So you have to let this thing play out and get to the offseason.
Yeah, I agree. And we kind of owe it to ourselves. We kind of need to see what we got with Darnold, because it's not exactly like it's a deep draft for quarterbacks next year or anything, you know? So, I mean, we've kind of connected to Sam. Unless something different happens with Deshaun Watson over the next 6 to 8 months, that's really the only outlet I see to get a different quarterback in here. And I think Carolina would jump on that if he's cleared, but that's just not an option right now. Before we get into the Patriots and this upcoming game Sunday, where is Robbie Anderson? Like, where is Robbie Anderson disappeared to? 0 receptions. He was only targeted once. And when he was targeted, that was when he got just destroyed on that hit where he couldn't hold on to the ball. But that was late in the game. Like, I don't understand what's happened where Darnold just isn't – I guess he's not looking for him. I don't know. DJ Moore had 8 targets, 4 catches, 59 yards. Relatively pedestrian day. But again, I mean, Darnold only threw for 129 yards in the game total. So it's just one of those things, but it feels like Robbie Anderson, sometimes it feels like he's not even on the field. And I don't know what's happened. I know he got an extension. He got that bag in the offseason. But I think a lot of people forget Sam Darnold wasn't throwing the football to Robbie Anderson last year. It was, you know, Teddy Bridgewater. And I think Teddy Bridgewater used him and DJ Moore, since he didn't really have a tight end. Those were his 2 outlets to get the ball out to go do stuff. And Darnold just doesn't really run this offense the same way.
He doesn't. And everyone talks about, oh, well, they had the connection in New York. But you got to think, that's all Darnold had in New York was Robbie Anderson. Yeah. he had that in a couple of bags of chips. Like, that's all he had in New York. Where here, DJ Moore is the clear number one guy. Like,
right.
that is his guy. And when you have a guy like DJ Moore that can just do so many things, he's so reliable, you're going to want to tend to go his way. And when Robbie Anderson, you know, I think maybe last year was it maybe a fool's gold with Robbie Anderson and thinking that, well, Teddy Bridgewater just really, you know, kind of dumped the ball off to him. You know, we didn't go downfield much and it kind of boosted padded his stats a little bit. And now we're back into this year where things are completely different, new quarterback. And it's almost like Robbie Anderson, you know, last year we were fooled that maybe thinking he was, I mean, heck, maybe a number one receiver. But, he kind of has the look of a number 3 receiver right now. Like, that's the problem with Carolina is they don't have a number 2 guy. Terrace Marshall is extremely young, and so is Shai Smith. Those 2 guys are not quite ready yet. And that's a big problem because Robbie Anderson has not been producing. And it makes me wonder what Carolina will do this offseason. I know they gave him the extension. Did they try and trade Robbie Anderson and maybe get somebody in free agency that can come in and be that number 2 guy? They're going to have money to kind of play with. So it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a ton of options on the table for them.
I mean, if this continues on, I don't know if they would stick with Robbie. There's no reason to, really, especially if you've got a promising wide receiver like Terrence Marshall kind of behind him. Now, I know Marshall didn't play on Sunday. He's still in concussion protocol, if I'm not mistaken. But maybe they get him back this week. But it's just alarming to me that not just the 0 receptions, but that just one target. You know, he was only targeted once, which tells me that Darnold isn't even really looking for him in the passing game. You know, and it's funny too, because after, I think it was the Houston game that they won, and then no, it might have been Minnesota, where Robbie was real adamant on the sideline towards the end. Yeah. And we were all kind of like, well, what was that about? I can kind of infer that he's upset he's not getting the football. You know, like no one's throwing him the ball. But and then right after that, I remember the very next game, it felt like Darnold was forcing the football to Robbie Anderson, and he was dropping footballs. The Panthers lead the league in drop passes, like by far, like 30-something after the game on Sunday. So I've come around on not all of this is on Sam Darnold. I mean, his receivers have to catch the football too. And when you realize that his receiving core leads the league in drop passes, that's going to affect Sam Darnold's stats. That's going to affect his mental makeup in the game. That's going to affect his ability to survey the field, his decision-making, like all of it. So you know he's got to be thinking in his head as he's going through. He'll say he's not, but he's human. He's going through his progressions thinking, do I want to get that ball to Robbie? Do I want to get that ball to DJ? I'm going to take my chance with DJ. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if they're both open or somewhat open, he's probably going to try to throw it to DJ before Robbie. And that sucks for Robbie, but he may not. I don't know. I wouldn't have a problem trading Robbie. I mean, at this point, it feels like he's not on the team. You know, it feels like he's not even out there. So I wouldn't have an issue with him not being there next year if we can get something for it. We got some picks we need to go pick back up after picking up this stuff here. We're on the trade deadline today. Do you expect anything from the Panthers front office in terms of any kind of trades or anything?
You know, obviously they've been calling about offensive linemen, but, you know, it doesn't seem like very many teams are very interested in trading their O-linemen. I mean, let's face it, every team wants O-linemen. I mean, that's a very premium in this league. And even the backups, they don't want to trade. I mean, Scott Fitter told us a couple of weeks ago, he's like, look, I've been on the phones. Nobody wants to trade offensive linemen. They're all looking for offensive linemen, and they're not even interested in moving their backups. So I don't think, you know, people will say if they do make a move, that'll be like, well, did they block? Well, it's not that Fitter didn't try. Like he understands the kind of the market right now. It's just not very O-line friendly, but I don't know. I don't see them making any big kind of splash per se, but I did see a report from Joe Person that the team is listening to trade offers on Marquise Haynes. So that's kind of interesting. He hasn't really played a whole lot, but hasn't really needed to. So I feel like if they can get a late round pick for him, I think they'd be satisfied.
The Panthers taking on the New England Patriots Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff. That's on CBS this week. The Patriots are 4-4, but 3-0 away from Gillette Stadium, coming into Bank of America Stadium. So Mac Jones kind of settling in. He's thrown for just a shade under 2,000 yards through halfway through the season. He's on pace to get to about 4,000. 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the year. We don't know the status at the time of this recording of Sam Darnold. He's listed as questionable right now in the injury report. And Christian McCaffrey, who's on injured reserve. But again, I think we were saying by midweek Thursday, we'll have a better idea for both of them if they're going to get a chance to play or not. Any word on C.J. Henderson or Terrence Marshall Jr.? Both of them are listed as questionable also as of today. Haven't seen a whole lot of Henderson since we traded for him. And Marshall got knocked out of a game with a concussion. Was that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there'll probably be a chance for both of them to play. It's very hard to tell early in the week because we don't know how much they're practicing. So, you know, when tomorrow we'll get a good indicator and, you know, as the week goes on, we'll have a better idea for it. So I'd say right now it's probably a 50-50 chance for both.
These teams kind of look similar to each other. I'm just kind of looking at their team stats. The Patriots are averaging 25.8 points per game. Panthers are averaging 20.6. Patriots are allowing about 20 points per game, same as the Panthers. Patriots about 369 yards are allowing or that they're getting per game on offense. The Panthers are right there at 345. Everything kind of it almost looks like you're looking at the same team. The thing is, the Patriots are starting a rookie quarterback. And the last time we saw we've seen rookie quarterback twice this year in Houston and in New York with the Jets, and we were victorious in both of them. And I thought the defense did a really good job of kind of harassing whoever that rookie quarterback was. I think you could do that here, although I would imagine the Patriots will put Mac Jones in a situation where he won't be forced to go out and win it on this defense. I think Belichick respects good defense when he sees it. I just don't know what they're going to attack from coming from his end on the defense, who the Patriots would go after to take out of the game for the Panthers. I assume it'd be McCaffrey if McCaffrey's playing, but if he's not, I'm not really sure what they do to slow down the Panthers offense, because the Panthers offense might be slow already.
Well, the good thing is, I mean, it's never a good thing to have injuries, but I guess with so many question marks, that this is kind of maybe a good thing for Carolina, because New England has no idea what the hell to game plan for. Like, they don't know if it's going to be Darnold or PJ. Is it going to be Christian or not? Like, is Terrace Marshall going to be in the game? Is Robbie going to be in the game? Because, I mean, Robbie took a lick. Like, I mean, we don't know what to expect from this Panthers offense. So, I think this is probably one of the games where even you and I just are like, we have no idea what's about to happen.
Yeah.
but I think for Carolina, if PJ Walker does play, it's got to be a very, very, very simple, deep, and not a complicated game plan. It's just got to be run the football, convert third downs, get in third manageable, stay on the field. And I think your defense is probably going to have to come up with a couple of turnovers just to give him a couple of extra chances with the football to make something happen. So not sure, you know, what Carolina's going to be able to muster up offensively. I do think, though, that Phil Snow will have his guys ready to go, and I think they're going to give Mac Jones a little trouble.
Yeah, I feel like they'll really try to harass him. We'll see a lot of stunts and twists and things of that sort, things to try to confuse him. Although Mac Jones, they say he's one of the more smarter quarterbacks that came out of this draft, and he's played pretty well. I mean, considering the situation he stepped into in New England, I think he's done fairly well for himself. He's kind of flown under the radar in terms of the other rookie quarterbacks that are playing this year. You don't hear a whole lot about them. And the Patriots are just kind of trucking along at 500, just kind of out of the way from everybody. And I personally detest the Patriots. I've hated them for years, and I really hope that, that the Panthers can actually win. Ever since that Super Bowl, like, I've just never been a Patriots fan, or Tom Brady or Belichick, any of those guys. I hate them all. And so I'm hoping that – unless you win the Bengals. Right, yeah. So I'm hoping that the Panthers can pull out a win here, because this is, like you said earlier on in the podcast, they're at a part of the season where you got to kind of look at the schedule and see which one of these games can we seriously win and get into the playoffs with, because I do think it would be a huge step for this team and a huge mark for Matt Rhule's resume to get the Panthers in the playoffs his second year. Even if they're a quick first round exit, wild card weekend, it would still be a feather in his cap to be like, hey, we got this team to the playoffs and we're still building it. You know, we got money. We're the youngest team in the league. We're still building this thing up, and there's no place to go but up from here. This would be one of those type of games where you kind of got to do it. The people notice when you beat teams like New England, regardless of what they're doing. So we'll see. We'll see what they do here. Any final words as the Panthers get ready to take on New England on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, it's an opportunity for them to go out there and beat New England, and it would catch some people's eyes to be able to beat Bill Belichick. And, you know, even if they don't get to the playoffs, I think if you can be at least on the cusp and just, you know, show that you're in the mix, be 9-8, 8-9, 10-7, whatever, even if you show that, I think it would gain some trust and some respect from the fan base towards Matt Rhule, showing that this thing is heading in the right direction. Again, that blueprint that he has shows that year two is the year they become competitive. Year three is when they start winning. So if all goes to according to plan, that could be the situation here in Carolina.
There you have it. So from Panthers beat writer Skylar Callahan from Sports Illustrated, I'm Desmond Johnson from Tobacco Road Sports Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. For Skylar, it's Callahan _. For myself, it's Dez, D-E-Z, _3505. Panthers taking on the Patriots 1 p.m. Sunday on CBS. We'll be back with a brand new episode of Believe in Carolina Panthers next week. Until then, keep pounding.